Thank you. Let me open in prayer, though. Father, we come before you this day, and we seek you. We seek that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Father, that you would enable me to speak your words, that you would open ears and hearts and eyes, and that we may obey and follow you. Father, we thank you. You are a good God, worthy of all of our praise. We come before you and just lift our eyes to you, that we may follow you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, if you could turn to 2 Chronicles, we're going to look at these verses today. What we're going to look at is a word, an idea, a movement of God. And that word is revival. I have never seen a revival in my life on a large scale. I've read about them. I've read about the Great Awakening with George Whitefield and what happened in the early United States. I've heard about them, that some revival is taking place in parts of Africa, that there's revival taking place in parts of China and in parts of Brazil and other parts of the world as well. How does it start? With God moving one heart at a time. That's what revival truly is. When God moves the heart of one person and one person responds, and God continues to move in the hearts of people. Take a look at verse 34:1. 34:1. This is 2 Chronicles, verse 34:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Do we have anyone here who is 8 years old? Anybody? Raise your hand. Any 8-year-olds? Not really. No, I thought we might. I was looking around earlier to see if we might have. I said, most of them are a little bit older than this. But what would you think if someone said to an 8-year-old or a 9 or 10 or 11-year-old child, you are now president of the United States? I taught third grade for many years, and I can tell you this. They can be very thoughtful people. Just because they're young does not mean that they're not necessarily thoughtful and wise. Josiah looked around him. In his 8-year-old eyes, he saw his kingdom, and he saw that it was sinful. He saw that it was wrong. And look at verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, Josiah's father was really not David. The Jewish people would say that if you were in the line of David, that his father was David. They always looked to King David. King David had been dead, actually, for almost about 300 years now when Josiah was on the scene. Josiah's father was actually Amon. He was killed by his servants after being king for only 2 years. The Bible tells us that Amon did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not Josiah. Take a look at verse 3. For in his 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. My Bible commentary tells me this about Josiah. He says, at the age of 16, Josiah began to cultivate a love for God in his heart. And by age 20, his character was strong enough in devotion to him that he went into action to purge his nation. How do we grow in our love for God? How do we grow in our love for God? We grow as we seek him in his word. It is in the Bible that we begin to grow in our love for God as we come to understand who he is and what he does. As we come to know him better. At 20, Josiah began to get rid of the places where Judah worshipped false gods. But he didn't only try to get rid of the evil in his land. He began to collect money and gather workers together to fix the temple so that the people could come and worship the true God of Israel. Turn to verse 34, 14 to 19. Verse 34, 14 to 19. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given to Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. And in Israel tradition, when you tear your clothes, that is a sign of repentance, that you know there's been sin in your land, sin in your own heart. You see, the book of Moses, the Pentateuch, had been lost for a long time, probably between 50 and 60 or 70 years. Israel still had words of the prophets, but they lost the word of the law. When Josiah read it, he realized all the things they hadn't been doing. He realized all the things that they were doing wrong. He repented and he tore his clothes. Then in verse 34, 31 to 33, it reads, then the king stood in his palace and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God all his days, and they did not depart from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. This is revival, and it started with one young boy who began to seek God. He recognized something was wrong as an 8-year-old child, and at 16 years old, he began to seek God with all his heart. What does it mean? What does it mean to seek God with all your heart? To truly believe? To have faith? To understand that these words that we have before us are actually the words of God? To come before our Holy Father who made us, who loves us, who sent his Son to die for us, and to repent, and to open up our hearts to him. To have God within our hearts. God then began to show Josiah. He began to show him his plan. Josiah's plan was to turn his people away from sin. I believe that there is a pattern here for revival. That there is a pattern here for revival in our land. The first thing, we look at our world with God's eyes. What do you see around you? What do you see? Is your heart grieved by the idols around us? The idols in our land? What are our idols? Well, for adults, they can often be perceived as power, money, perhaps fame. For younger people, what are your idols? What idols do you have that might be placed above God? Is it entertainment? Video games? TV? Movies? Computers? You see, we have our idols here in the United States of America as well. They're really all around us. We have our idols, and they can be used for good or for evil. Josiah began to seek God, and as he sought God, they found the word of the law. They found the Pentateuch. They found the first five books of the Bible that Moses had written. And as they read the law, they realized what they were doing wrong. You see, God's word opens up many, many doors in our hearts. Some of them will reveal what we shouldn't be doing. Some of them will reveal what we should be doing. And this is exactly what it opened up in the hearts of the people of Israel. Josiah began to seek God. He found him in his word. How are you seeking God? How are you coming to God in his word, growing to love him more? You see, there's only one way that we really have to grow in our knowledge and wisdom of Jesus, in the Lord of both the Old Testament and the New. God has given us his word. We thank God for the Jewish people that they preserved the Old Testament. Whoever this priest was that hid this book of the law in the temple when all the people around him were not serving God, when all the people around him had rejected this word, he hid the word of God in the temple. And we praise God that Josiah and the scribes and the priests found it. And when they found it, they had a desire to follow God's words. Josiah developed a plan to confront the idols of his day. His plan was to go out and destroy them, to destroy the idols of his land. Maybe our call, maybe your call, could not necessarily to destroy the idols that we have in our land, but to replace them. To replace them with other things. To replace them with Christ-centered things. It has been said, if you want to know what the next generation will look like, don't look to the president, don't look to the senators or the leaders of your country, don't look to the generals or the leaders of the military. Look to the storytellers. Look to those who tell the stories of your people. Well, who are our storytellers today? The movies, the TV, the music, the literature. The storytellers of today are not telling a very good story, for the most part. Yeah, there are some good things out there, but you young people, you know what's out there. You know the lyrics and the music that many of the people in your schools are listening to. You know the movies that are on television that are in the that you see. How could we begin to confront the idols of our land? Well, you have a group of young people up here that are pretty good musicians that God has put on their heart to learn music. Start to write it. Start to compose it. Start to seek God. What would he have you do in the music field? Can you write music that would be both entertaining and glorifying of God? I think the answer to that is yes. Can you become a part of the music industry? It's not easy. It's an industry that is really controlled by very evil things for the most part. But the answer is yes. Paul would have. Paul believed in confronting the culture with the culture of Christ. That too must be our goal. How about literature? Do we have any writers here? People that can write books, write stories? I think so. We need Christians that will enter the culture, that will change the culture by revealing God's love, by revealing his truth. Not only necessarily writing Christian books or stories about salvation and the truth of Jesus Christ, yes, praise God, but also writing good stories that would bring people closer to God instead of junk, instead of garbage? How about computer games? You guys know computer games much better than I have no clue of computer games, but I know a lot of them are really pretty bad. I know a lot of them are actually fairly addictive. I'm not saying that's wrong, but kids spend too much time on those computer games, but that's coming from me. But could you develop computer games that would also be glorifying of God? It seems to me that most of them are not right now. And you say, well, wait a minute, how can something be glorifying of God and still fun? Because our God is holy, He is real, He is true, and you bet we can make computer games that would be glorifying of God and yet still fun. But you guys have to program them. You guys have to create them. It has to be Christian hearts who are willing to come before God, seek a plan, and that God's plan is then revealed to your heart like it was revealed to the heart of Josiah. Learn God's word. You can't go unprepared. You can't go out there on your own. You have to learn God's word. You have to understand what He's saying to you, how He's guiding you. How can you hear how God is guiding you? Often. See what you love. What do you really like to do? Do you really like computers? Then God's probably guiding you to that. Do you really like music? Then God's probably guiding you to that. See what you love, because our God is a God who wants you to do what you love, but He wants you to do it for His glory. Not for self, not for fame, not for money. Perhaps those things would come, but God doesn't really care so much about those things. God wants you to do it for His glory. I believe with all my heart that Christians can begin to take back the culture by creating Christ, by creating a Christ-centered one, by coming to God and seeking His plan. It's called revival, and it starts with you. It starts with me too. But it's called revival when God works in the individual hearts of His people, when they are willing to listen, when they are willing to follow, and they are willing to obey. How do we call upon the Lord? First and foremost, we must confess any known sin. We must repent. That's why Josiah tore his garments. First and foremost, we cannot come before holy God holding on to our sin. We cannot come before holy God putting anything above Him, including good things, including good grades at school. I'm a school teacher. I like good grades at school. But we can't put that above God. We must repent of any known sin that we have. Then, pray. Ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. When you ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit, He will. When you ask Him, you must believe that God's Spirit, when we who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God's Spirit comes and indwells us. Sin, the world, our lives, the busyness, the many things that are around us, can push God's Holy Spirit very far down within us, and we are almost not much different from the world around us. People would look at us and say, how is he really different from the world around him? But if we pray, this is what we as Christians have, our power. Where does our power lie? Our power lies in God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us. If we pray, and when you pray, I urge you to pray this tonight, I urge you to pray this tomorrow morning, I urge you to pray it each day of your life, and sometimes hour by hour, or moment by moment, pray that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit. And as we are filled with God's Spirit, we will begin to hear, we will begin to listen, His power and His Spirit will begin to work in and through you. as we are filled with God's Spirit, the other things can't get in, the things of the world that could be sinful. As we are filled with God's Spirit will begin to reveal His plan that He has created for you. And His plan for you is different from every other plan of everyone else here. But His plan for you is perfect. When you ask God to fill you with His Spirit, you must believe that He has done it. You see, God answers prayers. God wants you to have His best. God's best is Himself. God wants you to ask Him to be filled with Him, because He knows that as you are filled with Him, you can do great things. You can do His will. That is the power that we as Christians have. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love the scripture verse that I wanted to help you understand today. The scripture verse in that Acts passage was when the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus came, the light shone around him, he fell off his horse, and Jesus came to him, and Paul's, I love Paul's words here, and I think they're a great message for us. Paul's two phrases were this: who are you? Who are you, Lord? That was his first question. I'm Jesus. God answers him back. Who are you, Lord? And Paul's next question is, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You see, Paul was a worker. Paul was someone who wanted to follow God. What do you want me to do? As Christians, we don't have to do anything for our salvation. God did it for us. God paid the whole price. He did it all upon that cross. God paid for our sins. He did it all. There's nothing you can do for your salvation other than to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, to believe that it is through His blood that we are made clean, that it is through His death and His resurrection that we are called children of God. But when you believe that, when you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, when you believe the words of this book and you see more and more the love that God has for you, you will want to serve Him. You will want to work for Him. You will want to be a part of God's plan. What do you want me to do? Paul asked. God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to serve Him. Why? Because as you serve God, you will see His power, His Spirit, His will, His way working through you. And as you begin to see Him working through you, you will begin to love Him more. You will begin to trust Him more. You will begin to grow in what God has for you. I would love to see a revival take place in the United States of America before I leave this planet. I am getting older by the minute, okay? So, young people, I look to you. I look to you. What does revival mean? What would revival look like? Revival would mean the hearts of individuals coming before God and seeking Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our spirit, with all of our soul, and loving Him and following Him. Praise God. We have a good God. He's worthy of all that we can give Him. Amen.